Today on the show, buy low, sell high. Okay, now is it really time to drop Matt Harvey? Heath Cummings bid 91 fab dollars on Matt Harvey last week. Are you regretting that, Heath?
No. Sure? I made two more trade offers this morning to try to obtain Matt Harvey.
Okay, well, welcome to the show, everybody. It is Wednesday. Usually it's an Al and Scott day. Today is a Heath and Al day, so we're mixing it up a little bit. Scott will be on tomorrow.
I'd like to apologize to the listeners for three straight days of me on the podcast.
I didn't even realize.
But the added bonus is I won't be on the podcast again for 5 days.
Beautiful. Yeah, so that reminds me, actually, Heath. We have no show on Monday, but I'm going to have some of you. I don't know who it's going to be. Won't be Heath on Friday because he's leaving a little early. But we're going to do a mailbag show on Friday. We'll record it on Friday. We'll air it on Monday. We'll do our normal show on Friday, but we'll do a second one Friday afternoon. We'll do a mailbag, and we'll record it and post it on Monday on Memorial Day. Hey, Al, what's going on?
Well, a lot of baseball today. Be a fun day today, and it was company breakfast day.
Mm.
It's a great day today.
It's one thing I miss the most about being down there in Fort Lauderdale, company breakfast day.
Not any of us.
No.
Just the breakfast.
Yes.
No, I can totally accept that.
It's so good. I love those breakfasts. Hey, which nickname do you guys prefer for the Yankees seventh, eighth, and ninth inning guys, Betances, Miller, Chapman? Done BMC or No Run BMC?
Those are neither one very good.
They're both good. I'm having trouble picking one. I think they're both good.
I like no run. Yeah.
You need an O in there because BMOC is like big man on campus, right?
Okay, run but
that
DMC.
That would kind of ruin the whole pun.
Yeah, you see, Heath doesn't know what run DMC is because he's...
Oh, I certainly know what run DMC is, yes.
Yeah, nice save, Heath.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I don't like the direction you're going with the pun. I'm trying to go a different direction.
First of all, I didn't come up with these, okay? No run BMC I heard on the broadcast last night. And done BMC, I read in the Associated Press recap this morning. So these are not originals here. But, you know, Al, today is grade the trade. Why don't you grade a trade offer? Randall Grichuk and Chris Carter. Randall Grichuk and Chris Carter for Nomar Mazara and Matt Harvey. If you were the Harvey Mazara owner, you're giving up Harvey and Mazara for Grichuk and Carter in a roto league. What would you grade that?
I'd give that a D for that owner.
Okay. Well, then I'll reject it. That was Heath's offer to me this morning.
I'm sorry.
You could make a counteroffer.
Nah, you know, look, here's the thing about Roto. Like, I'm done. That league, it's the worst team I've ever had, and I'm just done in that league. And we don't even have, like, prizes for third place or second place. There's no playoffs. What's the point? I don't even know if I want to participate anymore. I will, because I'm not that kind of guy. But
it sounds like you're being that kind of guy.
No, I still set my lineup. I still make pickups and all that. But you are so intent on getting Matt Harvey. Okay, tell me where you're at with him after another lousy performance yesterday, only one strikeout.
Well, I kind of wonder if maybe we shouldn't, like, the whole Sonny Gray thing, when he went on the DL, we all kind of felt like, well, maybe we've got an answer, maybe he's going to be okay now. Maybe what we need is a two-week Matt Harvey DL stint. But I got a tweet this morning asking if it's time to drop him because he's killing somebody in ERA and there's no upside right now. Well, that's not the way that upside works. The pitching really bad right now doesn't mean you don't have any upside right now. I thought Chris Tower said it really well yesterday on our Daily Fantasy Live podcast. I believe Matt Harvey's going to be good again sometime this year. I don't think he's going to waste all your fab.
And now you wasted every ounce of fab that you had in that league.
Right.
And the thing is with that conversation we had last week is I really felt like we were probably one of the only leagues where Matt Harvey was going to be on waivers after
right.
he was dropped. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think he's going to be dropped in, you know, some leagues. I think people are going to have this decision to make.
You know, we've got a tool for that. It's called the Roster Trends Report.
Well, yeah, I know. I don't know if he's dropped already, but
that's why I'm going to go check.
I mean, he's still going to get a lot of starts the rest of the year against the Phillies, Braves, and Marlins.
All right, and now he might not make his next start. They don't know what they're going to do with Harvey, and whether that's sending him to the minors or this is what bothers me. Like, they're talking openly about putting him on the DL, which means he's probably not even hurt. They're just going to make something up, which could be the case with Sonny Gray. But yeah, so this is worrisome. You know, giving up Chris Carter and Randall Grichuk isn't really giving up all that much. You know, can you give up something of significance for Matt Harvey right now, or does it have to be a really low buy low?
It's, for me, about really low buy low. I'm surprised because I agree. I think you got to, you know, definitely get him at a deep discount because it's not a situation like, you know, we talked about Corey Kluber where most of the signs are still pretty positive for him. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad all the way around. So, yeah, I don't want to give up anything of significance. And, yes, 1% of the owners in CBS leagues have dropped Matt Harvey.
That's actually kind of significant. It doesn't sound like much, but yeah. A lot of leagues.
Well, here's my
there.
Question, though. I don't know how the algorithm works because technically, if one owner dropped Matt Harvey, we couldn't show 100%.
Yeah,
no. He wouldn't be 100%. No, I think it would show up as 0% change. I'm pretty sure it rounds.
Hey, do you want to know what opponents are hitting against Matt Harvey the third time through the order? Their batting average against?
447.
519. So yesterday he lost his velocity. He was throwing like 95 early. He lost his velocity, I would say, by third or fourth inning. And then the third time through the order, he got pummeled like he does every single time. I'll throw out some names. Would you consider trading Jordan Zimmermann for Matt Harvey?
No. Oh, you would? Oh, God, I'd do that in a second.
You would trade Zimmermann for Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's not really a buy low then, Al. I mean,
I've got Zimmermann and Harvey very close in my rankings.
That's fine because I don't really have that much faith in Jordan Zimmermann. I'm certainly not compared to earlier in the year when I had him as maybe a number, you know, low-end number three starter.
See, I've never had him that low since the beginning of the season.
So. Jordan Zimmermann.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any reason to believe he did enough for three straight years of proving that he could pitch with a low ERA with a low strikeout rate that I just believe that he can do it.
Yeah. No, like I said, coming into the season, I didn't really have, you know, big doubts. Like I was thinking that way, like last year was going to be the aberration. But, I mean, he's worse this year in terms of getting strikeouts. Much worse.
I also think, though, that with Harvey, I'll finish it on this, like we have to start at least entertaining the possibility that he's just going to have an awful season.
Yes, it's I would say 25% chance that he's awful.
Okay. All right, we got a lot to get to today. Let me get through the notes here. Ryan Braun homered. That was good to see. I will once again make the case for Braun as a sell high. We'll go back to that. Giancarlo Stanton homered against Tampa Bay. That was good. And Al, some Marlins news. Okay, first of all, they're suing season ticket holders. Did you see that story?
I did see that story, yeah. And also, they're involved in some suits with some,
vendors.
Proprietors, yeah, vendors.
Why
are
they suing season ticket holders?
Because I think they pulled out of their season ticket package early or.
Yeah.
Adam, was that your understanding?
Yeah. Well, at least one of them. Yeah. The main guy that the story was written about, longtime season ticket holder. And I mean, the Marlins are just,
So they canceled their season tickets.
Yeah. Now yes. They're getting sued. And it's just, teams don't do that. That's just crazy. Also, props to the Marlins fans yesterday. They were so loud that Giancarlo Stanton hit a pop up. And the Rays players couldn't communicate on the field, and the pop-up fell in for an error. It wasn't ruled a hit. It was ruled an error. They were so loud. Why? Because it was kids' day at the park, and there were all these screaming kids there. So partial credit to Marlins fans.
Well, we were watching that. We actually saw that play here in the office, and we didn't know that was why that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I could hear this because somebody had the sound up. Normally, my TV, I just leave the sound off. Unless Rex Hudler is on the broadcast.
Oh, God.
But I could hear this like shrill sound throughout the game. And I know it's not Marlins fans cheering. It sounded almost like a soccer game. But I guess it was little kids at the Marlins game.
It was the kids.
By the way, I think that's me that you're hearing the sound from. So I hope that's not bothering you.
No, it didn't bother me at all.
Good.
Whit Merrifield played second base for Kansas City and doubled twice at Minnesota. Should we be at all interested in that?
I'd like to see him do it somewhere besides Minnesota. Like, he's going to play a lot. Yeah, I think in AL only, he's a guy that should be picked up probably for the next month.
Now, I'm wondering, though, if they move Cuthbert over to second base when Moustakas gets back in the lineup, which could be any day.
Well, possibly, but Merrifield plays in the outfield, too. I don't know if he's played in the same position twice yet.
Okay, so maybe AL only. Milwaukee,
AL
sorry.
Only.
All right, Milwaukee reliever Will Smith began a rehab assignment. Is there any chance he comes back and threatens Jeremy Jeffress' job?
I think maybe down the line, but I mean, Jeff Press has done a very good job. So I don't think it should be a situation like the Rays where, you know, the managers come out and said, well, you know, this guy's going to just slide to the job. I know.
Gene Segura.
It doesn't make sense there. It certainly doesn't make sense here. I don't, and it's not like Smith was the incumbent like Boxberger was. So.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, all right. Gene Segura. I mean, this is the big news. Taken to the hospital after being hit by a pitch in the head. He may have suffered a concussion. We hope for the best for Gene Segura, and we'll keep you updated. Justin Upton likely to miss today's game with quad tightness. Could be back on Friday. CJ Wilson and Hyunjin Ryu. Now, Wilson starting a rehab assignment soon. Ryu making another rehab start today. What's your level of interest in those two players?
I mean, Ryu, not really very much, just because I think that you could probably get something pretty close to the equivalent on waivers. So I haven't really been interested in keeping him in a DL spot up to this point. And I think I'd have a hard time making room for him on the active roster when he's ready.
And you don't like CJ Wilson?
No.
No.
So, by the way, just to go back to Segura, if people need a shortstop, here are some shortstops who are owned in 40% of leagues or less. Jose Ramirez, Alex Bregman, prospect for the Astros, Chris Owings, Eduardo Nunez, Danny Santana, Johnny Peralta, should be back very soon. He's 27% owned. Those are the main names, and Brad Miller. Anybody that really jumps out there at you?
Well, I think Peralta's not going to be back before Segura. I mean, Segura, if he's got a concussion, it's probably out a week.
Hopefully. I mean, look, to be quite honest with you, a concussion could be a month, could be more, you know, you never know.
Out of that list, I'd say Owings stands out for me just because if I'm losing Segura, I want to replace Steals. So
I'd rather just have a good player and get Johnny Peralta.
Yeah, I'm just like, if I need somebody next week, Johnny Peralta's not the answer.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'd probably go Nunez.
That's true. Yeah, I overlooked him because he'll give you the steals and a little bit more power than what Owings will give you.
Yeah, we got to talk about Brian Dozier in a little bit, but Nunez's playing time somewhat tied into Brian Dozier. Also, Jonathan Villar, 68% owned, will, you know, pretty much replace what Segura is doing. Villar's a top 12 shortstop so far this year. More on him a little bit later. Justin Upton, did I say that he...
Yep.
Yeah, okay, he'll be back Friday most likely. Yu Darvish, 90 pitch count on Saturday against Pittsburgh, so maybe not an automatic start. Yasiel Puig... Change to Yadira Puff by my phone. Yadira Puff pulled for failing to run out a long single that he thought was a home run. So, Yasiel Puig.
So, who are the Yadiras that you've been typing prior to this?
Yadira Puff. I don't know how that happened, but at least he owned it. Doesn't seem like a big deal. Carson Smith out for the season. Tommy John. Jason Hayward back in the lineup. Ian Kinsler, flu-like symptoms. He was out. Angel Pagan was on the DL with a hamstring strain. Could Jarrett Parker give you some cheap power?
Yeah, maybe. I'm, you know, I don't think he's really that much of a, you know, of a reliable power source. And I also, I'm just not sure whether they're going to go. I know Pence has been out, but if Pence were to return, you know, shortly, I'm not sure if they would go with Parker or with Gregor Blanco. Mm-hmm.
I would assume Blanco most of the time.
So, okay. I mean, that to me is probably the biggest reason to avoid Parker.
Alex Rodriguez could be back Friday. That probably means Aaron Hicks takes the biggest hit. Will Myers, out with forearm soreness, could be back today. And Hanley Ramirez, I hate seeing this, he was hit on the toe by a pitch. X-rays were negative. Could be no big deal. But Hanley's the kind of player that gets hit on the toe and then slumps for a month. So let's hope for the best there. Okay, stuff from yesterday, a lot. Let's start with this, get it out of the way. Luke Gregerson and Ryan Madsen struggled. Madsen gave up a walk-off home run to Leonis Martin, who's tearing it up. And Gregerson left the bases loaded. He'd struck out the side, but he gave up a walk and two hits against Baltimore in an on-save situation. We visited this topic last week. Does it make sense to get Will Harris or Ken Giles or Sean Doolittle on your roster, anticipating they become a closer soon?
To me, Doolittle is the most interesting of those three. I'd probably go Giles after that because he's been considerably better recently.
Yeah, I would agree that with that too. I mean, I think there's a case to go for Harris. I'm just not sure I trust the direction that the Astros are going to go in because they threw us a curveball by putting Gregerson in the position in the first place. So I think Doolittle, if nothing else, it's just he's a clearer alternative there.
And we've talked about it a lot with the Reds situation. It's just hard to count on a committee on a bad team like the Astros.
He's smiling as he says that, folks. I mean, look, they have been bad, but
They're awful. But they're 10 games under 500.
They're getting some saves.
They are awful, or they have been awful. Because I don't buy that they are awful.
So what? I don't know what other explanation. We're more than a fourth of the way through the season, and you cited on Twitter the other day when I brought this up about the Astros that the 2003 Marlins, and I think the 2003 Marlins have been the crutch for every team that's been 10 games under 500 at the quarterway mark.
Why not?
Because they're the only team that does it. Because it's extremely rare to be 10 games under 500 more than a fourth of the way through the season and make the playoffs.
Well, here's the deal. So the Astros fire AJ Hinch, they hire Jack McKeon.
Okay.
And everything's fixed.
And I guess, yeah, I don't know. I thought the Astros were really good. I picked them to win the division. Their pitching's been garbage. And I'm not sure that their pitching's going to get better.
See, I think it should. I think Keuchel should be much better. I think Mike Fiers has the possibility of developing some consistency. As you mentioned, Giles has been better in the bullpen. That could be a very good bullpen. So I do think that the Astros still could be a very good team.
I think it's possible the Astros turn into the Indians of 2015.
I think the Astros to win the World Series. So I'm very disappointed.
Once a week, I ask you guys if you've given up on the Astros or not yet.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
I just think their lineup, I mean, look, Correa has had a good year.
Their lineup's outstanding for three hitters.
Yeah, exactly. But even then, like, Springer and Correa haven't quite done what they're capable of doing.
That's true. I expect that to change. I am not, when I'm talking about how bad the Astros have been, I'm not talking bad about Altuve, Correa, or Springer.
All right.
I just don't think the rest of them are very good.
Let's move on. Let's go to a breakout alert. Are these guys breaking out this year? Chris Tillman, 2.61 ERA. Jimmy Nelson, 2.92 ERA and a good start at the Braves. And Nate Eovaldi, 80% owned. And yeah, he's putting together some good starts lately. I think it's like 5 out of 7 have been good for Eovaldi. The numbers still aren't great overall, but getting there. So Tillman, Nelson, Eovaldi, are we seeing legitimate breakouts here?
I have no question that we're seeing it from Chris Tillman. He's, you know, getting the strikeouts and he's getting them consistently. I wish he got a few more ground balls, especially given where he pitches, but that's really the only potential problem that I see with him. And I think he's now avoiding contact on a much more consistent basis, that it's just not going to be the problem for Tillman that it's been in the past.
What about the walks,
most interesting to me is Jimmy Nelson. Not because of last night, because it was the Braves and okay. But he's only had 2 starts this entire year where he's given up more than 2 runs. Nelson was a guy that would look really good for a couple of starts and then had a blow up. And he seems to have really, if nothing else, he's been more consistent this year.
Sell high.
Al hates Jimmy Nelson. You didn't really like Jimmy Nelson last year either, did you?
No, I really liked Jimmy Nelson last year, particularly at the start of the year, because I thought he was a breakout candidate. And that's the thing is when I peg you as a breakout candidate and you let me down, I'm very vengeful. And then I say a lot of really, you know, mean, disparaging things about you for years. But no, I mean, Nelson last year, he was inconsistent because he had these splits, these horrible splits against lefties.
Right.
Which are much better this year because he has a low BABIP against lefties. He's still walking too many left-handed batters and allowing too many home runs.
So with Tillman and Nelson, they both are a little wild. You know, does that concern you at all, the walk rates?
Yeah. I mean, neither one of these guys, when we talk about Chris Tillman or Jimmy Nelson having a breakout, we're talking about them not getting cut off of a fantasy team.
Well, I think that's selling it short.
That's kind of a big deal.
We're not talking about them becoming number 3 starters.
Okay, I think that's selling it short. I mean, especially Tillman. You could be talking about a must-start guy. That's a breakout. I mean, is he a must-start guy?
Yeah, see, my problem with calling Chris Tillman a must-start guy, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not starting Chris Tillman against at least 40% of his division.
Well, that's tough math because there's 4 other teams in the division.
Well, there's 5 teams in the division, 40%.
Okay, so half of the other teams.
Half of the other teams.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's an important distinction. No, I don't think Tillman is a number three starter yet. I'd say he's a number four starter, which means that he's going to start for me almost every week. Definitely all the two start weeks and probably a little more than half of the one start weeks.
Okay. How about Evaldi? So there are some good underlying numbers, career high ground ball rate, career low line drive percentage, career high strike percentage, 1.19 whip entering last night. Let me see what it is now for Evaldi, which is usually a huge problem for him. He's like a 1.3 whip guy at his best. Right now it's 1.15. So that's huge for Evaldi, and only 8.2 hits per nine. Usually it's around 10. I don't know. Things are looking better. I'm starting to buy in. I know he could give you a big clunker, but how about you guys on Evaldi?
Yeah, this puts me in a tough position because I wrote a couple weeks ago that I was done with him. So I feel like
turn around.
I can't turn around. But he's giving me reasons to turn around.
Turn around. Go ahead. Turn around.
Are you not going to sing the Bright Eyes?
No. See the old school version.
In this a pretty short stretch, though, he's finally doing all the things that we've seen him do at different points. You know, last year, he had that span where he was a ground ball machine. He's getting the ground balls again this year. He's getting the strikeouts. He's throwing strikes. So he's been doing that, you know, pretty consistently over his last six or seven starts. I guess if I'm going to be picky, and I have, you know, a strong incentive to be picky with Evaldi since I've committed to giving up on him, is that he's not going deep into games. So it is going to be very hard to start him in one start weeks.
He could go deep into games, but if they have a 3-run lead or less, Girardi goes to no-run BMC at the end of the game, and that's why Evaldi hasn't been going that deep into games recently. The other part with him, Al, if you want to turn around on Evaldi, is every now and then he falls apart.
That's so true, Bonnie.
And I know Girardi has said that he would really prefer, I think.
Yeah, he's a liar.
To just use two of those pitchers.
He's lying. He's a liar. He's proven to be a big liar about that over the past week. Nate Evaldi, rest of season, or Scott Kazmir?
Oh, Evaldi. Yeah. I really am done with Kazmir.
Yeah, probably Evaldi.
Evaldi or Tyler Duffy?
Duffy.
Oh, man. I'll go Duffy.
Okay.
I don't have it in me to argue against him, and I don't want to say mean things against him right before he pitches against the Royals.
Evaldi or Patrick Corbin?
I'll take Evaldi here.
Okay.
The thing with Corbin, you know, he's giving up so many home runs, and he's giving them up almost exclusively at home. So I can't trust Corbin at home. And then he's got these terrible splits against righty. So I can't really start him against lineups that have a lot of righties in them.
Okay.
That doesn't leave very many times to start Patrick Corbin.
Are you calling Patrick Corbin a loogie?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Okay.
I can get more than one out, though.
I'll take Corbin.
All right, these next guys.
He's a Lamogie. Multiple outs.
Lamogie, multiple outs. Do we need to pick these guys up before it's too late? They're all owned in 36% of leagues or less. Leonis Martin, Adam Duvall, Trace Thompson, Jorge Soler.
I think Leonis Martin will probably be picked up and dropped and picked up and dropped at least three more times in your league this year. So I think if you miss this one, you will get another chance. Just wait a month.
I think that description could also apply to Jorge Soler, just based on the playing time.
Uh-huh. If there's one guy here I'm starting to get tempted by, I guess it's Trace Thompson. Again, we talked about this, I think, on Monday, that Thompson's minor league numbers suggest what he's done in the majors are about as fluky as it could be, but he continues to do it. And at some point, I think it's not like they've got a lot of other outfielders they should be playing over him.
Correct. Yeah.
They've got a lot of other outfielders.
So you don't see a guy on this list that could have a real surprise season and, you know, be 80% owned at some point?
I think Martin and maybe Duvall. But yeah, I'm real intrigued by Martin. I definitely want to be owning him in any kind of roto league. Duvall, I definitely believe in the power for him, and that might be enough. I think he's probably achieving in batting average, which isn't really that great anyway. I think it could be worse. But just for the power alone, I'm a little intrigued by Duvall as well. But no, I think Martin has a chance to really be a mainstay this year. So I disagree with Heath on that.
Okay, so who would you consider dropping for Leonis Martin. Let me see if I can come up with some names here. Would you drop Brett Gardner for Leonis Martin?
I would not.
No, I wouldn't either.
Would you drop, trying to come up, Yasmani Tomas for
no. No way.
Yeah, that's closer, but, I think I stick with Tomas there.
Kevin Pillar.
Yes.
I think that's right in the range. I'm sure I've got those two really close, but, I could see doing that.
All right, next category. I was trying to think of a way to ask, are these guys back? And I was thinking of a song that had some type of theme with that. And for
Baby
some reason, what'd you say?
Baby Got Back?
Ooh, that would have been a good one. That would have been a good one. Maybe next time. But for some reason, I went with Back Streets Back. All right.
Yeah, so. There's no doubt. It's not for some reason you went with that one. It's because you listen to it every night before you go to bed.
There's only one Backstreet Boys song I like, and it's, you know, they're a great song.
And it's all of them.
I Want It That Way is a great song. It's a great classic boy band song. Other than that, I have no interest
in Backstreet. Can you adjust the camera so that I can see the entire Backstreet Boys poster on your wall?
Nah, dude. I did like them more than NSYNC, I will say that, but I didn't like boy bands, I promise. That's when I started getting into rock music.
Adam, Al, did you hear how he hit that note?
All right.
Oh yeah. Did that sound like somebody that's not enjoying that music?
And yeah, and also not the first time that he's sang it, I think.
Okay.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Is that true? Wow. I didn't realize that. I guess I'm a closet.
I would say of the people on the podcast, you look like the most likely to be in a boy band.
I would agree with that. Scott?
I don't think Scott has the boy band vibe.
Okay. All right. Well, are these guys back? There are two of them. Julio Teheran, career high 12 strikeouts yesterday against Milwaukee. But what is amazing about Teheran is that entering yesterday's start, he had a 0.80 ERA in the five previous starts, and they came against Boston, the Cubs, the Diamondbacks, the Royals, and the Pirates. And three of those were on the road. So it's not like he's beating up on bad competition. Teheran and then Verlander, 8 scoreless innings, 3 hits, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts against the horrible Phillies. But he's pitching better too. Teheran and Verlander, are they back?
I think they're both back, and it's just too bad that Teheran is not going to get any run support. It's a shame. Verlander will. And he is totally back. The last, let's see, 4 starts, 17% whiff rate. Domination.
Okay, here's all I'm going to say, because I do need to today move. I think both of these guys deserve to be moved up in my rankings. And Verlander is much better than I expect him to be. But if we're saying Justin Verlander's back, then he's needs to be in your top 5 or 10 pitchers.
No. He doesn't have to be a Cy Young Award winner.
What's that?
He doesn't have to be a Cy Young Award winner.
No.
So.
The top 10 pitchers in your rankings don't all win Cy Youngs.
I know, but I don't want to get too literal. I'm not saying he's back to being one of the best pitchers, if not the best in baseball. Let me phrase it. Is he now a top 24 pitcher? Is he a number 2 fantasy starter, Justin Verlander?
I think he is, so I need to...
I don't have him in the top 24, no. I can't... If you're doing that, for me, you're putting him ahead of somebody like Chris Archer.
I think it's reasonable to put him ahead of Carlos Martinez.
Yeah, no, I think that has to happen.
Well, what do you think, Heath?
You can't tell me what to do with my rankings.
I can. You can completely ignore me, as you should. I can tell you.
I think he's, for me at least, and I've been the lowest on him. So the floor on Verlander now is going to be a top 30 pitcher.
Okay.
Hey, that's not bad.
That's not
Maybe
bad
32.
At all. Heath right wants it that way. Now, Teheran and Verlander, would you rank either of them ahead of Matt Harvey?
That's difficult.
I don't think I'm there yet.
Definitely can't do it with Teheran for no fault of his own, just because of the run support.
No, Teheran for me is going to be more in like the 45 range probably after today. I'm going to move Verlander up to around 30, and I would guess Harvey's going to end up probably, I think I'm going to have to keep Harvey ahead of him for one more start.
I think that's fair. I'm not quite ready to do it, but I'm close. And yeah, I think another start or two like this from Verlander, and even if Harvey improves somewhat, I'd be ready to do that.
Cool.
And Verlander providing us with more spin rate porn. those four starts I mentioned, spin rate 2649 RPM, which is ridiculous.
Nice.
Well, and it's important for him too, because, you know, working up in the zone like he does, I think that's going to, you know, that's going to help him to avoid giving up too many home runs.
All right. So we will get into buy low or sell high. Talk about Michael Wacha. Talk about Brian Dozier. But first, I've got a fun challenge for all of you at home. I dare you to find a good pitcher in tonight's FanDuel slate. There may not be any, but you can still find good hitters and set a great lineup and win some real money on FanDuel.com. It's the best place to play daily fantasy sports, and it's not even close. Go to FanDuel.com. Start playing today. You're going to love it. You're going to follow it so closely. It's a different kind of thrill than what you get with your seasonal leagues. It's like being in a championship round every single day. You really get very wrapped up in it. It's awesome. So give FanDuel a shot. If you want a free chance to win some money, here's what you do. Sign up today. Enter your first league. Either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Sign up with our promo code, HOMERUN. One word, no spaces, home run. That's our promo code. Make it happen. Play on FanDuel. We all love playing daily fantasy baseball on FanDuel, and you will too. I asked you guys before the show started for some buy lows and some sell highs. I'll kick it off and just ask you, are you interested in buying low on Michael Wacha, who got torched yesterday? 8 runs on 8 hits in 4 innings.
No, not me neither.
And I don't know how low. These are all going to be relative. I'm trying to say, would I be interested in buying realistically low on Michael Wacha? I'm not dropping out of my top 50 pitchers or anything. But the main problem with Michael Wacha is he just lacks the upside. When he's going really good, he creeps into the top 30 starting pitchers, but he trails everyone in the top 30 in upside.
Mm. Okay.
He's kind of a poor man's Jordan Zimmermann.
Is he droppable?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
I actually do think Wacha is droppable.
I'd have a tough time dropping him. In fact, he was
like, who's
dropped
on the waiver wire that you're going to pick up for Michael Wacha is what I don't.
I'll tell you who I would. Matt Cain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would you really?
I cannot.
Oh, I definitely would.
I cannot agree with that.
No, that seems premature, Al. Why? Let's talk about
that.
Well,
but that's, that for me is as much to do with Waka's lack of upside. I mean, if I own Wacha, I'm even when he's closer to his prime form, I'm not starting him every week. I mean, there's any number of players, and Kane's a guy that I am targeting right now because he's been excellent the last 4 starts.
See, I think prime form Michael Wacha is Marcus Stroman.
I don't think so. I don't think he's quite there.
I mean, to be fair to Wacha, he's at the end of the year, his numbers are good, and
right,
at least so far in his career, you know, he's a low 3 ZRA kind of guy, right? So. And he gets wins.
Right, but if you're not providing much else, again, that ERA alone is not really enough to, you know, earn a start, I would say, the majority of weeks.
In theory, he would get you wins, but the Cardinals haven't quite been the Cardinals. You know, it's funny, we have a guy in our league, Pasco, who just keeps giving us podcast fodder, because last week he dropped Matt Harvey, and yesterday he dropped Michael Wacha, or, you know, this morning he dropped Michael Wacha for Nick Tropiano. Would you do that? Would you drop Wacha for Tropiano?
No way.
Well, no, and I wouldn't have done it a week ago when Tropiano was lining up for 2 starts.
Yeah. All right. Brian Dozier sat again. Pioneer Press wrote a very good story about him, quoting his GM, Terry Ryan, who said that Dozier's in pull mode. He's swinging out of the zone, trying to do too much. It's basically everything we saw in August and September. They bunch you on the left side. He's hitting pop-ups in the air. They aren't going over the fence like they were last year. That means he's probably not getting a pitch he can handle. The Pioneer Press also points out Dozier has 1 home run in his last 149 at-bats at home. And then this I thought was really interesting. He sees the 6 most pitches, 6 most strikes taken out of the strike zone in baseball. In other words, bad calls. A lot of bad calls going against Brian Dozier and a .218 BABIP. So that's some weird stuff. What do you guys think? Is Dozier a buy low candidate, or are we staying away?
I'm staying away. And by the way, I bought into him a lot on draft day and have had a lot of trouble dealing him in the leagues where I do have him. And I'm definitely a motivated seller. And the fact that I want to sell him, given that he's at this low point, you know, betrays the fact that I don't really have a strong confidence in him to rebound. And the part of this I think is really interesting is the strikes taken out of the strike or the pitches. The strikes that are out of the zone. And in that same piece, I think it was Terry Ryan who said that he takes that as the sign of a lack of respect on behalf of the umpires.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, it wasn't Terry Ryan. I think it was the writer suggesting maybe that it
was a lack of
respect. Can I
just say hashtag robot umpires now, please?
What?
That's so dumb. Hashtag robot umps now.
Robot umps.
It's ridiculous that we're talking about a player, and one of the reasons he's struggling is because umpires may not respect him enough to call the right strike zone.
No. It's just a theory.
It is just a theory. It's one I definitely would like to try to test.
Al, I'll give you, right now, in this Roto League we're in, I'll give you Starlin Castro for Brian Dozier.
Well, I'll make you a better offer than that.
Yeah, I'll need a better offer just because Castro is, I think, pretty easily replaced. So I would want somebody that I know I would keep around.
I'll give you Jose Quintana.
Which league is this?
This is Memorial.
Okay. Well, that offer I'd accept.
All right. I just have to confirm that I'm actually going to do that.
Okay.
That I will give you. And then once you accept, he says, let me come.
I have to think about it. How about, would you do Joe Ross or Aaron Sanchez for Brian Dozier?
Yeah. I'm not sure which one. I'm leaning towards Sanchez, but which means I'm going to have to make a rankings adjustment with those two.
All right. I have enough pitchers.
But one of those three pitchers I would certainly consider. And I would definitely do it for Quintana, like right now.
All right. We'll make it happen.
And by the way, you cited the BABIP, which is extremely low and probably rebound some, but this is who Dozier is. I mean, he does pull the ball, I think, more than any hitter in the majors over the last two, three seasons. And the pop-ups also are a longstanding issue with him.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, he's not a high batting average guy, but he's just got to hit those pop-ups further, get them farther,
much further.
Get them over the wall. Okay. Any other buy lows? Heath, who do you got? Who are you buying low on?
What I thought I'd kind of look at, I think Corey Dickerson is still a little bit of a buy low. I know he's losing some playing time to lefties right now. I think that's because he's struggling. It kind of frustrates me that managers start resting or talking about players struggling when they've got 185 BABIPs. I mean, the only way that's going to come up is to give him more at bats and let him hit more balls in play and let it even out. But he's also got eight home runs, which I think is a little bit surprising.
Dickerson's hitting against lefties, though. He's 1-for-26.
Okay. Is his strikeout rate really high against them?
One walk, 10 strikeouts.
That's bad.
So,
but still, I think he's somebody that his owner's got him on his team with a 181 average. You can probably get him for almost nothing.
Mm-hmm. What about Kendrys Morales? I kind of put them in the same boat. Like, would you do the same approach with him? He's batting 187.
I'm a little bit nervous about Morales just because of his age and because last year was really his only good year in several. But the fact that last year he dominated right-handed pitching and did okay from the left side or from the right side. And this year it's completely flipped and he's killing lefties and really struggling against righties, that makes me feel better.
The inner turmoil must be exhausting you, because do you have your ageism going up against your Royals homerism?
That's fair. Again, if I could, I think buying low on Morales in some leagues might be picking him up off the waiver wire.
Yeah, he's 46% owned.
So I don't know that you have to give anything up for him to be able to buy him.
I think the leagues I'd be interested in Morales, though, are the ones that he's owned in. The deeper corner infield type leagues.
Right. Yeah. I already own him in all the Roto leagues. So, I would be buying low there.
But he's only DH eligible, right? So he's not even a corner infielder.
Yeah, right. That's true. Yeah.
That's true.
All right. Al, any buy lows for you?
Well, I'd say my favorite right now, not that I've successfully acted on it yet, is Joey Votto. I did try to get him in our podcast points league the other day. But he started to come around, and I think we all kind of backed him, a couple weeks ago when we were talking about him and, saying that he's got a hard contact rate and all the signs seem to be good, but he was striking out an awful lot, and actually he still is. But the high strikeout rate seems to be a byproduct of a passive approach, which Corsvado has had for a really long time, where he's just taking a lot of strikes and pitchers are throwing in the zone to him way more than they have over the last several years. And he's starting to adjust to that now and starting to swing more often. So I think eventually the improvement's going to come for Votto, and it's probably going to be dramatic.
What, one more that I didn't mention that I still think is an excellent buy low is Anthony Rendon. He did hit a home run last night. He's coming around. I think maybe that's when his
window's closed now.
Well, I don't think so, though. I think some of his owners are probably like, okay, he's done something. I can get rid of him before he falls off again.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, he had a home run off one of the worst pitchers in baseball, Matt Harvey.
That's true. I would also buy low on Matt Harvey.
Okay. Sell highs, guys?
Well, you mentioned Randall Grichuk. And I'm trying to think, because there was another player you said, Adam, that you wanted to talk about as a sell high.
Yeah, well,
I think it was a health thing.
Ryan Braun.
Yeah, so that's kind of how I feel about Grichuk. It's not that I don't have his faith in his ability to produce, especially produce power when he plays and when he's healthy, but I just, he's so banged up so much of the time, I think I would want to trade him now while he's getting some playing time.
Yeah, Braun, it's tough because whenever he's played, he's been as good as anybody in the outfield. He's been awesome. He played yesterday and he homered, so it's tough, but you got to get somebody you really love for him. But I am worried. He just keeps getting these day-to-day nagging injuries. He's had back surgery. I don't know.
You should offer Ryan Braun for Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, I would do that in a second. I don't know. I think that's reasonable. I think a lot of fantasy owners would make that deal.
I know
you guys wouldn't, but
no,
I think it could happen. And I talked about Salvador Perez yesterday. I still think he's going to have a bad second half. So,
yeah, the main problem is how bad catcher is.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the reason I brought up Salvador Perez again is this. If you play in a two catcher league, you know, with a lot of roster spots, right? Like five outfielders, corner infield, middle infield, you could probably get away with having bad catchers who do nothing or very little. It's just they don't put up big numbers anyway for the most part. So I don't know how much you'd miss Salvador Perez's production. He might be overvalued because he's a catcher, almost like how closers are overvalued. I could see myself trading Perez in my two catcher league, getting something back at a different position and just having a better player who puts up better numbers overall, and that helps. If that makes sense.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. I don't necessarily agree with that, I don't think, but I get where you're going.
Okay. Sell highs anymore? Any more? Heath?
You know,
that's okay. You don't have to force it.
I don't have to force it?
You didn't take my homework assignment very seriously. Usually you do. Usually you're pretty good with this.
I'll be honest with you. When you said I asked you guys before the show for some sell highs, I did never see that request.
Yeah.
So it must have been sent through a super secret channel.
I sent it to Al and Scott because I thought they were on the show. He replied to the email, put you on it, and Scott said, Heath and I have switched places.
I saw Scott's email saying we'd switched places. I didn't know that was in response to something else.
Yeah. All right.
So that was, I did a bad job there. I apologize. but I don't have another sell high for you. So
it's fine. It's all good. We got a lot to get to. We're going streaking. These three guys are on some pretty crazy streaks right now. Marvell Ozone has reached base in 31 straight games. That would be Marcell Ozuna, of course. 31 straight games. I dropped him not long before his hot streak, so that sucked. Robinson Cano has reached base safely in 23 straight games, during which he's hitting .344 with 5 home runs and 10 doubles. And Jackie Bradley Jr. up to 28-game hitting streak now. We're going streaking.
I think I made a worse drop than you, Adam.
What was
dropping
that?
V-Mart.
Oh, V-Mart, yeah.
That was bad.
Speaking of dropping, have you seen Rougnetto Odor's numbers since he punched Jose Bautista?
Yeah. This guy can't get suspended soon enough.
Yeah. It's been pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Maybe you were right, Heath.
I need to republish that piece with the added lines in the chart.
I'll punch you in the face for that. So I guess we don't have much to say there. Four up, four down. Four up. Adam Eaton. I want to talk about him because he is a very different player depending on your format. Adam Eaton is number 22 in points, number 48 in Roto at outfield.
Wow.
Yeah, he's only got, let's see, he's got 5 steals and 3 home runs. Hit his 3rd home run yesterday. So we need more of the counting stats. Also, not scoring a ton of runs. 20 runs for a leadoff hitter for the White Sox in 46 games with a really good OBP. So I think that'll probably change.
I think he's, yeah, if somebody's frustrated, and I don't think people look at his numbers in Roto and think this is the guy that's killing me. So if somebody was frustrated or down on him, I would buy low in that format because I think the runs specifically are going to increase.
Well, and the weird part is I think of Eaton as a Roto specialist. So this is really surprising to me. But part of that, too, is that he came into this season with good but not great strikeout rates. And he's striking out a lot less this year. So that is that's helping him a lot in the points leagues. But, yeah, no, I agree. That run total doesn't make sense to me. I think there could be more power there. Just hit his 3rd home run. You know, he went on the second half power binge last season. I don't think that was a total fluke. So I think that this could possibly just be the floor for Eaton.
I like Eaton. I think good things are to come. I mean, it's hard to get great value on him. He's number 22 in points league, so I don't think anybody's fooled there. But yeah, I mean, there's no way he's not a top 40 outfielder in Roto. Jonathan Villar, 68% owned. Are you guys starting to buy into it? And if they do bring up Arcia, their shortstop prospect, that's his name, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Could they do something else with Jonathan Villar to keep him in the lineup? Because he's their leadoff hitter. Again, 68% owned and a top 12 shortstop, stealing a ton of bases. He's got 15 steals so far and, you know, a respectable batting average.
Yeah, I think they could move him to third, maybe also play him in the outfield, but I would think third base would be the obvious move. Play there with the Astros some.
So is he under-owned?
I'm buying into him to the point to where I can see him in that Escobar, Andrews, Castro range of middle infielders that you're happy to have in Roto but don't have much use for in points.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Ben Revere and Carlos Beltran are 67 and 71% owned. Revere, I said this, I think 2 years in a row, top 30 outfielder in both points and Roto, going to bat leadoff for the Nationals. So 4 multi-hit games in the last 5 games. Revere and Beltran, they're about 70% owned. Do they strike you as under-owned?
Revere, yes. Beltran, I think that's probably just about right.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I'm happy to see Beltran hitting the ball the way that he is right now. He's crushing it. I hope maybe he's fortunate enough towards the end of his career to get traded to a winner, maybe in a deadline deal or something.
Oh, yeah, the team that's won 6 in a row is back to 500.
But Ben Revere's the one that's under-owned there.
Okay. 4 down. We talked about Votto, so 3 more who are down. Adam Jones, remember he homered 4 times in 6 games, and then
fool you!
He is now ice cold. Last 7 games, 3-for-29 with no extra base hits. Oops. What's going on with Adam Jones?
I wish I understood, to be honest. you know, this is somebody that we lauded as, you know, as consistent as could be, the safe number 2 outfield choice among all those risky options. And the power's just really disappeared. So I guess I would consider Jones a good buy low.
Absolutely.
Because he is still 30, Heath. So,
right. I don't think his age has caused him to drop to a 261 BABIP. The lack of power is concerning, but if you figure that he's just, I mean, he's on what, a 20 homer pace, that would be a slight drop off, but he needs maybe 2 hot weeks to get back on the right pace.
Yes, but again, this gets overlooked sometimes with hitters like this. When they give you basically no steals, that puts them at a big disadvantage among other outfielders. And right now, he has 0 steals in 0 attempts. So he might steal like 6 bases this year, and he used to be more like 15. It's actually a pretty big deal.
Well, he's only stole 10 the last 2 years combined.
Yeah, but he got hurt last year. But right,
I agree.
But his value wasn't that good last year, and I think even the year before, because the steals are, he doesn't give you anything there now.
Yeah, he never gave you a lot.
No, but 15,
I mean, I understand,
is nice.
You know, 15 is better than, you know, 0 or 5 even. But,
for sure.
Did the math right on that?
Yes.
Okay. but I think you can't underestimate the run producing potential either, which, you know, has not been that great so far for Jones. But I think he could be on a, you know, 100-100 pace and certainly a 90-90 pace from here on out.
Sure. Okay. Josh Donaldson, you guys have any concerns about him?
I don't have any concerns about whether or not he's going to be a top three third baseman this year.
Okay.
But I think there's, I mean, I don't think it's out of the question to think that Arenado and Machado could both be better either.
Sure.
It's a tight race. I still have Donaldson ahead of them, but
I've got Arenado 1, Donaldson 2, and Machado 3 right now.
We'll finish it off with the fringy starting pitchers. Are you interested in any of these guys? Then we'll grade some trades. Jeremy Hellickson, R.A. Dickey, Shelby Miller, Josh Tomlin, who is 7-0, Martin Perez, Irvin Santana, and Nate Karns. Who are your favorites there?
I mean, it's relative, but yeah. I would say I think it's Nate Karns, and it's still for me. I think the pendulum swung too far on Shelby Miller. I can't imagine he's really going to be this bad all year long. I don't have any fit. Martin Perez, Irvin Santana, and R.A. Dickey, Jeremy Hellickson, none of those guys are even on the radar for me. So it'd be Tomlin or Miller.
Yeah, for me, it would be, yeah, not Miller, but no faith in him.
It's going to be not Miller.
But it's going to be not Miller. No, Karns, and I agree, it's just relative. And then Tomlin. And Hellickson, I'll say, is a close third behind Tomlin.
I did think it was really cool that Miggy gave him the thumbs up after he struck him out last night. Did you see that?
I did not see that. Yeah, I was just watching that game.
I think threw a slider or something in the dirt and just completely...
you.
And Miggy, as he's finishing his swing, just looks at Hellickson and gives him the thumbs up.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's a very affable guy when he's going well.
Yes, yes he is. Nate Karns or Nate Evaldi?
I think Karns.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. But yeah, a little more faith in Karns.
Heath, who's your starting pitcher tonight?
Tonight's definitely a night where you want to split it up. I'll probably have more Iwakuma than anything else.
That's
just because
something.
He's facing the Athletics, who I don't think are very good at all offensively. You could make an argument, I guess, for Foltynewicz, just because the Brewers have been pretty bad on the road against righties. It's a terrible, terrible night for pitching, which means there's a lot of stacks that you can play. Most notably, maybe the Rays going up against Justin Nicolino. Justin Nicolino has had one of the worst starts to a major league career ever as a starting pitcher.
Really?
Well, in terms of strikeout to walk.
And this was before his last start, which I don't remember. What did he do in his last start? Did he have a good start?
I don't think it was good the last time out.
No. Okay. Before his last start, he had 98 innings pitched. He had more than 30 walks, less than 30 strikeouts, and more than 40 runs allowed. No pitcher had ever done that in their first 100 innings.
Brandon Guyer's 34% owned lefty masher, or 3,400 lefty masher. Should be plenty of good hitters tonight because the pitchers aren't good. I still think, I would do a Scott Kazmir lineup against the Reds.
What about Ruby De La Rosa against the Pirates and all those righty bats?
Yeah. My problem with that is I think the Pirates are really good.
Yeah, they are.
And it's like that. I agree with the fact that Ruby's much better against righties, but Starling Marte, Andrew McCutcheon, Gregory Polanco is hotter than a lava right now.
Hotter than a cup of hot coffee.
Yeah.
Much hotter than that.
Oh,
hotter
much.
I learned from Rex Hudler last night that when a player is hot, you say he's hotter than a firecracker, but the hottest hot is hotter than lava.
We call it
Rex.
Mr. Coffee. All right, let's go on to grade the trade now. Fantasy baseball at CBSI.com. This is from Simon. Gosh, Rex Hudler. From Simon. Says, Dear Robert, Jimmy, and John. Al, that's got to be Led Zeppelin, right?
Yes.
I don't know who John is, but it's got to be. All right, this is Simon in London.
John Paul Jones.
Is that real? Is that a real thing?
Bass player, yeah.
Okay. 12-team Roto League, give up Justin Upton, Marcus Stroman, and Jay Happ. Justin Upton, Marcus Stroman, and Jay Happ. Get Matt Harvey and Carlos Carrasco.
Like I'd be happy giving Stroman and a Hap for Carrasco. So would I give Upton for Harvey?
I don't think I would.
That's like the sell low, buy low. I'm going to give it a C minus.
I'm going to go C plus because the pitching is a clear upgrade. I just take Hap out of the equation. I don't think even it has to be owned in a 12-team roto league.
Well, he says he's going to drop him because he has to bring you off the DL.
Oh, gotcha. I'm not on the DL. Anyhow, Upton and Harvey, both buy low, you know, guys could cancel each other out. So, yeah, no, I like that.
Who is good again first, Carlos Carrasco or Matt Harvey?
Yeah.
Carrasco or Harvey?
How much longer do we have until Carrasco's back?
I would guess like about a month.
Then I would guess Harvey.
If it's a month, then I guess Harvey as well.
Matt from Mesa, Arizona. Hey, Mike, Tim, and Barry. A's pitchers.
Ah.
Gray the trade, you know. The old good A's pitchers.
Well, here's the problem is when you use these names like Robert, Jimmy, and John, and Mike, Tim, and Barry, I could come up with like six different answers, but who knows which one's right.
Okay,
like,
go ahead. So give us
like
give
in
us
retrospect,
six,
it seemed obvious.
Yeah, give us six different answers, Heath, for Mike, Tim, and Barry.
Were Giants mid-90s, I guess it was late 90s Giants.
Mm-hmm. You're doing great here.
I mean, there's lots of them. College football coaches.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. All right. So,
running backs.
Yeah, totally. Here's the trade. Give
Detroit
up.
Lions.
I don't know what side he's on. So okay. Let's say he's giving up Yu Darvish and Will Myers in a 10x10 head-to-head categories league, by the way. Giving up Yu Darvish and Will Myers, getting Dallas Keuchel and Chris Davis with a C. Orioles Chris Davis.
Getting Keuchel and Chris Davis with a C.
B plus.
B minus.
Yeah. You want to be on the Keuchel, Chris Davis side.
Yes.
Here's one from Chris. He says, dear Ford, JG Taylor, and Buck. I had to look this up. These are baseball awards. Ford C. Frick Award.
Yep, Ford Frick.
Yeah. Buck Taylor Award, JG Taylor. No, Buck O'Neill, sorry. And J.G. Taylor. Should I trade Dallas Keuchel for Kyle Seager in an 8-team 5x5 scoring league?
Not with the rest of the explanation of the email.
Yeah, he has Beltre, Ortiz, and Trumbo at third base and utility, so Seager's a little bit of excess.
I was really inclined to do that in an 8-team league, even without that.
So you'd rather have Keuchel?
Yeah.
All right. Here's one from Sean. Grade the trade. Give up Felix Hernandez, Lorenzo Cain, and Yasiel Puig, who he calls this little Puiggy. Felix Hernandez, Lorenzo Cain, and Yasiel Puig for Jacob deGrom, Carlos Gonzalez, and Michael Brantley.
I will go B minus on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a dead C.
No, I think it's definitely a win.
Is it an upgrade across the board, Felix to deGrom? Is that an upgrade?
I'm not certain.
I think it is, but it's close.
Cain to Carlos Gonzalez. Is that an upgrade?
I think it definitely is.
Who's going to play more games the rest of the year?
Well, Lorenzo Cain.
Puig to Brantley.
Again.
Yeah, that's a tough. I mean, they're all close, but I think I like the player on the one side just a little bit better.
I think we'll like this one better. This is from No Name. Didn't put his name on it. Shame on you. 6x6 OPS. And complete games are the extra categories. Give up Daniel Murphy, get Johnny Cueto. A.
Solid B, great sell high.
A.
Only a B, Al.
Yeah.
Okay. Al believes in Daniel Murphy. He's a big-time Daniel Murphy believer.
And a Cueto believer, too. All right, from Doug. Hey, that was sarcasm?
Yes, sorry. That was sarcasm. You got to bring out the sarcasm meter.
Yeah, that was outstanding, like,
Thank
on
you.
The sarcasm meter.
Deadpan meter was a 10. Thank you.
Oh, right. Yeah, the deadpan meter, I think, is more accurate there. Grade the trade. This is from Doug. Hey, Magellan, Columbus, and Cortez. 12-team, 6x6. Give up Kluber and Fowler. Get McCutcheon and Bauer. Kluber and Fowler for McCutcheon and Bauer.
That's D-.
D+.
Well, you got the best player in the deal, McCutcheon.
Right.
And gave up the worst player in the deal, Kluber. No, just kidding. Yeah, you probably should.
Also, Doug, excellent use of the name game. Like Magellan, Columbus, and Cortez. There's only one answer for that one.
Oh, no, there are at least five. Those are all Dr. Scholl's commercial endorsers.
I thought they were all navigation systems.
Yes.
I thought they were all cities in Ohio.
I'm gelling. All right, see you later, everybody. See you later, everybody. For Heath Cummings and Al Melchior, I'm Adam Azer. Back tomorrow with more. Shadow.